Welcome to Enneagram Conversations with Jackie Brewster and Courtney Barman, where you'll uncover and discover more about yourself and others through the helpful tool of the Enneagram. I'm your host, Julie Underwood. So this month, we are going to be looking at things that make you go boom. Fitting for 4th of July, you know, fireworks and all. We'll be taking a look at how stress shows up in the different Enneagram types. But before we jump into that, speaking of fireworks, Jackie, how do you feel about fireworks in general?
I love to go see them. I don't love like fireworks being shot off by my kids. I don't like sparklers. I don't like bottle rockets. I don't like anything like that they could possibly, you know, potentially get hurt by. But as far as going to see the fireworks, yes, I want to do that every year.
Courtney, what about you?
Yeah, exact same. Like, I absolutely love it. I do not like homemade, I call it homemade fireworks, but they're not really homemade. But like people in the streets and in the South, I tell you what, people love to do that. And 99% of the time, I feel like there's alcohol involved. So I am like really on edge because I'm like, this is how these stories happen. Like, I don't love that. But when we lived in Vegas, we used to go to like really great fireworks displays and I got really spoiled and it's super fun. How about you, Julie?
Okay, I like fireworks. I feel like my six comes out hardcore because I'm like, what do we need for fireworks? And right. Then sometimes I get overwhelmed. I'm like, we just don't need to do this. Like, this is too much work. This is, we need chairs. We need to get there 2 hours early. We have to have all the snacks. Like, it's like a thing. I'm really fortunate to live in a little bit more of a rural space. So our neighbors, and there could be possible alcohol involved, put on a very elaborate fireworks show. So a lot of times I can actually just go right outside and be like, here, kids, I did what I had to do when you were little. Now just like look up. Like, it's fine. Like, they're all the same. All right. Real quick question. What is your favorite 4th of July food?
I like the watermelon basil salad, feta and basil. Oh my gosh. I really only make it then and it's my favorite.
All right. So let's talk about what each type looks like when they are under stress. Jackie, how is each Enneagram type affected by stress?
Well, we are all affected by stress, and how it shows up looks quite different for each Enneagram number. So when we think about our basic number, just, you know, I'm an Enneagram 7. So when I think about the 7, we often think like happy, positive, you know, energetic, jumping out of planes, which I don't do. But they, you know, those kind of high side of things. And then you add stress into it. And I look like a completely different person a lot of the times. You know, and when we talk about that stress piece, all of our Enneagram types, they actually move towards a different number in stress. And so this doesn't mean that we become that number. It means that we start to use some of the patterns of behavior maybe, or the traits of that number. So it's like, I'm an Enneagram 7, I move to a 1 in stress, and all of a sudden this happy-go-lucky, fun, energetic person is like nitpicky or like buying all the bins to organize closets, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for everybody. But me understanding, oh, this is me in stress, I'm trying to establish order somewhere because I feel out of order. And you know, leaning into that makes it easier for me to kind of grab a hold up. So when we look at stress for all of the numbers, we're really looking at that average to unhealthy range of personality. Okay. So when I'm thinking about, again, just the Enneagram 7 moving to the 1, I'm thinking about that average to unhealthy side of a 1, not the healthy side of a 1, although I can access that when I'm healthy, but in stress, it is the lower part of it. And so we're going to talk about this for all the numbers today. So buckle up, because I think it's going to be really interesting for all of us.
Okay. Before you lose me, can you break this down a little bit more for us?
Sure. So what we're going to do is just a quick flyby, and then we'll spend some more time with each number. So 1 moves to 4 in stress. They start acting out some of the behaviors of a 4, like Jackie just said. 2 moves to 8 in stress. Same deal. They start taking on some of those characteristics, some of those traits. Again, they don't become this number. It isn't like transformation or something like that. You know, Transformers, it isn't like all of a sudden, oh, they were a truck, now they're like this. It's not like that. It's just taking on some different traits. Same thing. 3, you know, this hard charging 3 moves to a 9 in stress. 4s move to 2 in stress. So rather than kind of being inward, potentially focused, they focus outward. So those are kind of some of them. Jackie, you want to talk about the others?
Yeah. So the 5 moves to a 7 in stress. And you know, that's going to look a whole lot different than the typical five that is more withdrawn. We're going to see quite a bit difference in this number for sure. Six moves to a three in stress. The seven moves to a one, like I was talking about earlier. The eight moves to a five in stress. And again, we're talking about the average to unhealthy side of these numbers as we unpack this. And then the nine moves to a six in stress.
So when a one is stressed, we might see them become moody, sensing others do not take them or their values seriously.
Yeah. And they might kind of withdraw to sort out their feelings. They might need to take some time and just kind of sit with those negative feelings that maybe they don't generally experience very much. They can become depressed, tend to isolate. They could even, you know, become self-indulgent, you know, developing some of those, like, I deserve this type of behaviors or patterns, trying to make themselves feel better. You know, a lot of what I saw, like when we go through hard times, you know, if there's like stress in our life, I kind of joke with Derek about it. Like when he is on the couch for a long time, which is very unusual, like watching something like Road Rules Real World Marathon. Like that is how I know, like things are in a place, you know, like we went to Taylor Swift a couple of weeks ago and he loves like the like Evermore and Folklore and like all the feelings albums. And I'm like, just let me dance around, you know, like I like that. But that's him tapping into those more feeling emotions that oftentimes, you know, he doesn't do unless he's under stress.
It's interesting because as we're thinking about the stress side of our numbers, this is oftentimes when we are walking through life in autopilot. This is just like, this is just who I am. And, you know, oftentimes fear, worry, and afraid is in that average range of personality. And so when we get into that, it's like, these are our coping strategies. These are our defense mechanisms. This is how we just go about at an unconscious level to try to figure out life. But this is not the healthiest side of who we are. Healthy means aware. Healthy means awake. Okay. So we're thinking about this and why do we even care about stress or why do we even talk about this? Because when we can understand what we look like in stress, we can actually grab a hold of that. So we can name it and we can tame it. And we will most likely be less likely to continue to repeat patterns that are getting us stuck in ruts when we become aware of our own self in different situations. And so really leaning in and looking at these stress sides, this is a perfect way for you to really learn and grow according to your Enneagram number. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I was doing some video recording for something yesterday, and they were asking me about how I taught the Enneagram. And I said, I don't want to teach people about their number. I want to help people understand who they are. So I want to help people uncover and discover more about themselves and why they show up in this way according to their number. So when we're thinking about this, that's the unpacking that we're trying to do. It's not so much we want to just tell you about your number and then we want you guys to act that out. We're more interested in getting down to the root system of the why and helping you guys grow to be the healthiest version you guys can be. And so as we talk about this stress today, we hope that you guys will really lean in and listen and maybe even go back and take some notes to help you guys grow.
So the two will act out the average to unhealthy side of the eight. Can you kind of break that down for us a little bit more?
Yeah. So understanding this for growth, right? So in stress, the average to unhealthy side of an eight is we're going to see some control come in. We're going to see maybe even some dominating pieces of that eight. And the two all of a sudden starts to act this way. It's not really all of a sudden, right? Because in stress, I feel like it's a builder. We build up. And then the two finally gets to the place that they can't take it anymore. And so this is where we oftentimes can see them maybe even become more self-focused, controlling, dominating. They maybe begin to tell people what to do or how to do things, which is not typically what we see with an Enneagram too. But in that stress side, they really feel like I have pushed things down. I have shoved things for as long as I can. And now I've had enough and I'm going to be more assertive and I'm going to try to, you know, move things and get what I want or where I want to go. And so completely different side of an Enneagram too.
So in stress, we look very different from our dominant number, and we can see this with the Enneagram 3 also.
Yeah, for sure. So the Enneagram 3 moves to a 9, acting out the average to unhealthy traits of a 9. So this might look like turning on autopilot or just hoping to kind of get through situations, like being there physically, but not really engaging, kind of that surface level engagement. They can lose their focus and their drive, which again is really strange and almost concerning if you're used to being in relationship with a 3, or if you're, you know how they normally act and respond, to see that is almost like really concerning. Like, what's happening here? If the stress is prolonged, they can really just shut down. You know, just kind of like that sloth mentality, like, I just can't do it anymore. The longer they, you know, they don't have energy, they tend to lose their enthusiasm or keep up the appearance of happiness. They really just wish others would leave them alone and give them space. They're like, I can't even put on a happy face anymore. I am just done.
So I'm curious, is there a difference between how this appears in work life versus how we act at home under stress?
Yeah, this is a great question. You had asked me this a little bit ago, Julie, because you know I'm married to an Enneagram 3. Our husbands work together. And so when we're talking about the stress side and at work, you're not going to see a downshift necessarily, okay? So with an Enneagram 3 at work, they're going to produce. But at home, we're going to see a downshift. We're going to see them kind of lose the ability to continue to put on that mask and fake it till they make it at home. So they're, you know, they might be binge watching television, laying on the couch all weekend and not interested in showering. They might, you know, have really strict eating habits, and all of a sudden they're not anymore. They just are eating pizza and, you know, Taco Bell. They don't even care. We'll see a decline in self-care for the Enneagram 3, but it's not typically seen in an office setting or anything like that. We're going to see it more in the personal side. I don't want to say hidden side because I don't want it to feel like they're hiding that side of them. It's their safe place where they can take off that mask and relax. So we'll see it happen more in private than we will in public, though, for a 3.
Is that true for all the numbers too? Would you say that there's a professional versus a home difference or comfortable place?
I think it probably depends a little bit. I think they're in, and I think the 3 is probably where it's most exaggerated, to your point, because it's so tied in with identity. But I think like every number has the possibility to do it, but it's what you said, it's your safe space. So if you feel safe, you're going to really be who you truly are, versus at work where you're working for a paycheck, working for all the approval, all the things. Well, if I already have all that and I'm stressed out, you're going to see the stress. You know, I'm not going to put my best foot forward.
We'll see it in different ways. So like if we look at the 4s in stress, they move towards the 2. They defend their hurt feelings by withdrawing from people or withholding affection and attention from people. And so it's relationship oriented here. And so the Enneagram 4, they can feel even clingy if they feel like they're losing connection, which is very out of character for a 4, because they want to be authentic to who they are. They don't want to be seen as clingy because they do not want to be rejected. And all of a sudden we're seeing this switch happen. Again, I say all of a sudden, it's a buildup over time, but we see the switch happen. And then they, you know, we feel this pull. They really need something, or they really need to know. They're also, the Enneagram 4 is also one that kind of plays this cat and mouse game. Like, I'm going to come towards you, then I'm going to go away. I'm going to see if you'll come back to me. Like, will you chase me in some ways? And again, I want to say this again, we are talking about the stress side of numbers today. This is not how 4s function all the time. This is just in stress. We're going to see this, especially if it has to do with relationship. We're going to see a testing, if you will. Like, I'm going to test and see, do you see me? Can you see me? Can you see I need you? And then how people respond to them tells them, am I important to them or am I not? Being that vulnerable is really hard for a 4.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced this stress from 4s. My mom is a true 4. And there have been times where my mom is pretty independent. She likes to do her own thing. But there have been times where she'll reach out and say, oh, do you want to go do this? Or do you want to go do this? And maybe at the moment, it just wasn't a good time, or it just kind of caught me off guard. And that has caused a lot of conflict between us. And now I know that when she says that, like, that's a reaching out. That's, I want to spend time with you. And sometimes it maybe is a little clingy under stress. Other times I think it's just their way of reaching out. And now I know if I choose to deny this particular moment, I need to be a lot more thoughtful in how I do that, because it does feel, because fours do feel rejection pretty quickly. I need to make sure that it's not interpreted as rejection. So I've learned a lot about this, and I think it really has helped me in my relationship with my mom.
I think it's so helpful to understand that about a four, and also just the fear of rejection. You know, the four struggles with those feelings in general around their identity. And so being really mindful of their sensitivity towards that, I think, is wise. So as we look at the Enneagram 5, the 5 moves towards the 7 in stress, and they become nervous and high strung, restless and hyperactive, which is so different, again, than your typical 5. Your typical 5 is an investigative thinker. They're gathering information. They like private time and quiet. They're pretty structured. They really like to know what's expected of them. So this can feel a little bit like, what is happening? Their minds can jump from one thing to another. This was like during COVID. My girlfriend and I, it was when we were writing our first book together. Her husband is an Enneagram 5, and her and I are like doing edits, like on Zoom. So we've got the Zoom screen up and we've got the edits happening. And so we're talking back and forth. And all of a sudden I see him with a paint roller, and he's like literally like rolling like the island. He's like painting around her. And it was so funny because I think we were probably writing on stress at that time too. So it was like, oh my gosh, we're seeing this in action.
Yeah.
But that's not typically how he functions, but in the stress of the season and the unknowing of what life was going to be like, we could really see that uptick in him where things felt a bit more scattered than they typically do.
My husband's a 5, and because as a 7, I go to a 1 in stress, I get very detailed, very organized, which is not typically how I always want to run my life. But especially when we travel, I would say in an airport, anytime there's tickets, paper, passports, anything involved, I'm like, let me have those. And not to undermine him, but he does become, because it's stressful, you know, travel is stressful, he becomes very scattered. He'll lose a wallet, he'll lose a phone, he's left his computer. And I'm like, do you have this? Like, it's the one time I have permission to kind of remind him, like, hey, do you have this? Do I have this? Okay, hand me your papers. Mommy's going to put them in her purse.
Mommy's under stress.
Yes, mommy's under stress, so she's really on, and dad is a lot more like, oh, you know. So I have definitely seen this, because most of the time I'm like, I don't care, just do it. I'm whatever, it's fine. But under stress, I can be a real boss lady.
So the 6 moves towards the 3. They jump into action and they stay in action while they're trying to deal with their anxiety. So their anxiety is still there, but it's much more movement maybe than your typical daily life of a 6. They act as if everything is okay, even when they feel overwhelmed. So I picture that, you know, duck or goose or whatever waterfowl, you know, like above water, everything looks fine, but below water, they're just working hard. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot of energy being expelled. And for 6s, they spend that energy with a lot of nervousness and anxiety. They become really task-oriented and highly efficient. So, you know, while things maybe feel out of control, they're doing their best to kick butt and take names. You know, they're going to get their things done. They're going to do what they need to do to try to make it through this period of stress. So that's a look at 6s moving towards 3 in stress.
So this is interesting. Working with some 6s lately, and they don't register anxiety, which is interesting, because I think when we're reading this, especially, you know, Court and I deep diving into coaching, reading all the things and everything about a 6 says anxiety. So we're like, well, they must feel anxious, right? Because we're not 6s. But then you're starting to work with them, and it's kind of like some of them very much, they're aware of the anxiety. And then there's other types of 6s that are not as aware of anxiety, or that anxiety is propelling them forward in some of these actions. And I do think the other thing that's really, really interesting about a 6 is that the stress side of a 6 looks very efficient. So sixes are getting stuff done. This doesn't look like a scared six standing still, not able to move at all. Usually stress propels them forward. They kind of even like it to be like, I'm going to wait until the last day to write my paper in college, you know, or I'm going to wait until my daughter. Oh my gosh, you guys.
Yes.
She's staying on campus for the summer. She's an Enneagram six. I talk about her all the time. She FaceTimed me a couple weeks ago and she's like, okay, so I have to move out of my dorm into the house that we're going to be in for the summer. And I was like, okay. And I didn't even think about like, maybe I should fly in to move her. I don't know. She didn't say anything to me. We both laughed about it. She's like, I know, I didn't even say anything to you. I'm like, I didn't even ask, because she's really efficient, you know, but in this, she calls me and her and her roommate, the dorm is a mess behind them. Her roommate's a nine. She's a six. I'm like, how are you going to move your stuff? She's like, well, I'm just moving right down the road. And I said, Ashlyn, you're going to have to get boxes or bins or something. And then she was like, oh. And so then I gave her, she's like, can you just give me a list of how I'm supposed to pack this? And I'm like, yep. And so I gave her the list of how she's going to pack it. And then that was it. She's like, okay, I can take it. So all that stress just needed some order to it. And then she's super efficient. She's going to get it done. And even watching her this summer, she's working with the college and watching her be a boss is awesome. Just getting things done. But I do think I love that part about the six is that this stress does not necessarily show up as an anxious stress, but there is an anxiety underneath it that is moving them, like Courtney said, kind of like that duck that you said, like underneath there is this like, I got to get it done. I got to get it done. I got to get it done side of it. But like you said, Julie, at the beginning of this, is there a difference at work and home? This would be one that, no, you're going to see them be really efficient instead of in probably all areas of their life. Okay, so talking about that seven moving to a one, Julie and I are both sevens. And we both have talked about this a little bit even today, that we become more hypercritical, that, you know, we pull the reins in on ourselves and we want to become more disciplined. Julie, tell me a little bit about what this has looked like for you.
Yeah, the more I've learned about this, I can look back and see some patterns, even as a child, where this would come out really extremely. So there was a short period of time where my family was building a house, and we had to move out of the current house, move into another lodging situation, and then move one more time before we moved into the house that we were building, because it was just taking longer. And I developed some severe OCD symptoms. So like counting. I started counting on my fingers all the time. Anything that lost its cap. And guys, I come from a very artistic family. So nobody saved caps for whether it was deodorant, hairspray, anything. And it literally, like, my brain could not wrap itself around, why is there not a cap on the hairspray? Like, it didn't make any sense. I was staying up super late at night vacuuming, cleaning this kitchen. And I was around fifth grade. It was a time when I was aware of my actions, but I had no idea why it was happening. And it was also a time when people didn't necessarily talk about that with kids. It was just kind of like, oh, she's just being weird. But really, when I look back at this, this was such a perfect example of me just trying to gain some type of order. My room was spotless, and I really tried to put that on everybody else in the house, and everybody's looking at me like, what is going on with you? And it's funny because some of those little OCD tendencies have actually stuck with me. When I get really stressed, I count numbers. I count how many letters are in words just in my head. And it's just like, and I have to be like, okay, you're okay. Like, everything's okay. So yeah, I have seen this come out in multiple ways. So Courtney, being an eight, you move towards the five. Can you break that down a little bit more for us?
Yeah. So fives are really different than eights. Fives have the lowest amount of energy on the Enneagram, or at least the lowest, I would say, battery life. How about that? Social battery life, especially. And that's how I know that I'm not doing well, is when I do not want to be around people. The thought of being around people is exhausting, because usually that's like super exciting, super fun. You know, I get to go like entertain a room or be with my friends. But for me, when I want to isolate, And the thought of just like being around people is too much. That's really hard for me. So kind of that retreating, isolating, that sort of thing. When I am living in a state of just everything is overwhelming, that's how I know I am in stress. And as a mom of four, I would say I visit that state of overwhelm probably almost daily. But I do my best to like fight through it and stay engaged. But man, that's kind of how I tend to feel that. But even like the detaching from emotions a little bit, because it's exhausting. Like for eights, we emotions are our gasoline. Like I go on that. But when it's just constant all the time, I'm like, I can't. Again, it's almost like that's the phrase for an eight. I just can't with this. Where usually we're like, oh, I'm going to take the world. I got this. You know, it's almost like I give up. I wave the white flag. I'm done.
So as we look at the nine moves towards that six, and we're looking at that average to unhealthy side of the Enneagram six. And so the nine can become worried and testy and even defensive. And if we're thinking about this, the nine wants to keep the peace. They want things to be harmonious in their environments. They like everybody to get along and they like things to be good. And so in stress, defensive and testy sounds quite a bit different. They might blame everyone else for the distress that they feel. They may even express frustration with the authority over them feeling controlled or even manipulated by other people. So you might all of a sudden see them using their voice in a way that they haven't used before. If they feel like they're under stress for a long period of time, it can just feel so overwhelming for the Enneagram 9. Like, I hate the way I feel. I need this to stop. How can I get this to stop? What do I need to do to get this to stop? And so there is definitely an element of retreat that happens in stress for an Enneagram 9. But in that retreat with people, there's also an aggressive or a passive aggressive side that we begin to see in stress that is not typically how they function.
Okay, so now that we've talked about what each type may look like in stress, what are people supposed to do with this information?
That's a great question. So when we think about stress and how it affects us, it affects everything about us when we're under stress. I feel like stress can definitely cause some of us to rev up and move forward, scattered, you know, just taking on the world, not paying attention to their own personal needs even, or it can cause others to completely shut down, move away, retreat, isolate. And so the biggest piece around understanding stress is awareness, understanding what you actually look like in stress, because so many of us are going to think this is just who I am. Like, I'm not controlling. This is just who I am. And I say that as an Enneagram 7 who goes to a 1 that gets really nitpicky and like demanding. You know, like, I'm not being difficult. This is just me. No, it's only me when I'm stressed. And so really for you on your own journey, that piece of self-awareness, that gives you guys an opportunity to step into your own story. So it's not what other people are doing to you or what has happened around you. We're actually looking at you. What is your response or your reaction to what is helping, you know, to what is happening in a situation? When you can do that, you can take that awareness into the acknowledgement phase. Okay. So we become aware like, oh, I don't think this is the healthiest version of myself. Huh. Let me acknowledge what's going on. You know, and I'll just, again, speak from my own personal experience in life. So, you know, when I can see myself get stressed, I just get edgy, really, really edgy. And then I'm like, why do I feel so edgy? I feel stressed because I have zero margin. I have completely overbooked myself, or between my schedule, Steven's schedule, the kids' schedule, there's nothing fun. That's what I would say for me. I'm like, there's nothing on my calendar that I feel like, yay, everything feels like obligation. I can definitely get super prickly in that place. And so then I have to acknowledge that, okay, I overbooked myself. I own it. So I could say like all of these things, the kids are super busy, work is crazy. Or I can say like, I didn't look at my calendar and I just said yes to a lot of things and I overbooked myself. And so that's the acknowledgement piece. I own the parts of my own story that I need to own for me to be able to make a pivot towards growth. inside of that, the next step is that pivot. What does it look like? And so it might look like margin. So understanding the rhythm at which life feels the most manageable. So yeah, like what feels the most manageable in this season? Because every season is going to be different. So if I can look back, I've been raising kids for 21 years. So if I look back over 21 years, every season of that looks different. Every season has a different tray with a different number of plates on it, if you will. And so paying attention to margin. So when we're thinking about growth, okay, because everything that we do with Enneagram, I want you to uncover and discover to move towards growth. What does this look like? You become aware. You start to acknowledge the role that you play in your own story. You start to take ownership of that. And then from there, you can decide what the pivot towards growth looks like. And you guys, these are not huge steps. These are typically little tiny pivots that make a difference over time, and it changes the trajectory of your life. So it's not a big overhaul. It's usually just small steps. If we can name what is causing us stress, we likely can tame it if we want to.
Well, ladies, this has been a lot of information. So thank you for sticking with us. This is where awareness in the Enneagram helps so much. When I feel stressed, I can immediately see my stress and I'm able to correct my responses in my life and towards my family. Thank you for joining us today. Join us next time as we continue our conversations about the Enneagram and what it means for your relationships. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're there, we'd love for you to leave a review. Your kind words help others find the show. For more great Enneagram content, you can follow Jackie and Courtney on Instagram at Enneagram with JB and Courtney B Coaching. To learn more about Jackie and her resources on the Enneagram, you can visit her at enneagramwithjb.com. We'll see you next time on Enneagram Conversations.